I'm Jay from Gallifrey Public Radio, a Doctor Who podcast and part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other incredible geeky shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And welcome to Play Comics, where once again, I'm here talking to a creator about their cool stuff. This time, I've got Leslie Julian here for an upcoming or currently ongoing Kickstarter, depending on timing of things. Leslie, how are you today?
I'm good. How about you, Chris?
I'm good. I'm excited because Savage Wizard, you've got me hooked just on the title. Which is maybe reading a book by its cover too much. But it's an interesting title, and I want to know what's going on.
Yeah, it's funny. It is kind of, we were trying to do a couple things there. One, it's like it says, it's that savage and wizard. So our main character, the barbarian Renar, is forced to learn magic due to some untimely events that happen and in the book. And basically, it's a really simple play on words because one, he is a savage, he was a wizard, but also his companion, his mentor, is also a wizard. So you have that savage and you have that wizard. And so, like I said, it's simple. It wasn't too clever, but we thought it sounded awesome.
It almost sounds like you're going the Marvel, like, Secret Wars route of trying to put words together that you know will make sales happen, which I'm not knocking at all.
No, I was like, this sounds amazing. Like, this is what we're going to do. This is totally what I was there thinking, honestly. Like, this sounds badass. Very sixth grade rationale.
What is your elevator pitch for Savage Wizard?
So, our elevator pitch is basically, what if Conan the Barbarian was forced to reclass as a wizard? Pretty much that just boils it down right there, nice and simple.
So then I guess my first real question is, how many different reasons are you going to give me for wanting to spend money on this? Because I've already stopped counting.
Yeah, we're trying to give you a ton. It's a 28-page book filled with Brian Flint's amazing art, which I'm pretty sure, besides the name, is the reason you're wanting to back this. Brian puts a credible amount of detail into his black and white illustrations. It's just insane. If you haven't had a chance to check him out yet, Brian puts just so much effort and detail into the background and the screen tones, and just so much is going on in these pages. They are action-packed. In addition to that, I mean, I think me and Doug have come up with a pretty funny and crazy action story that I think people will dig, in addition to the amazing art.
So where did the inspiration for this story come from?
So the story kind of came about back in 2019. Before I think I even knew Doug that well, I think I followed him on Twitter, and I noticed he posted something about Pitchfember, which is similar to the Inktober for artists. It's basically November. You're supposed to put together like a log line a day. So I came up with a bunch of random ideas for comics, and one of them was, what if a barbarian was forced to become a wizard? And Doug just approached me randomly. I think he saw some of my comics online, and he wanted to co-write something. And we're like, sure. And so we were kind of going back and forth on ideas. And then finally, I threw that one at him. And he was like, yeah, wow, let's do that. That's the one. We can have a lot of fun with that. So it was pretty much just birthed from this random idea I had. And we just had so much fun putting it together.
So when you threw that pitch out into the world, did you have a story in mind, or was it just an idea to get through Pitchfember?
It was literally just that simple idea. You know, I wasn't sure when I would ever flesh it out or if I ever would, you know. So I was really happy that I was able to do something immediately with Doug and make it more realized. So pretty much we took that simple idea and we used a snowflake method to build it out, which a snowflake method is more of a novel writing process, but Doug was more familiar with it, and we used that to kind of build up the world. So we took that sentence and we turned that sentence into a paragraph, and you turn that paragraph basically into a page, and from there you can also build up your characters that way as well. So we did that, and we very quickly had a lot to work with in terms of the story. Very quickly it all came together.
And what approach did you have having a co-writer for this versus things that you've written by yourself?
So it was definitely really different. Neither of us had ever co-written anything before, so it was very different from my usual process. For this, what we did was I would take a couple pages and Doug would take a couple pages, and we would write them, and then we would come back together and we'll look at them, make tweaks, and then we would pretty much marry those pages together. And it's funny, Brian isn't here right now, but he says like he never really noticed like any difference. Like it's all seemed fairly seamless to him. So I think that was just a testament to the edits that we were able to make, like just to make everything one unified voice in terms of the characters, in terms of even in terms of how the script looked and everything. We definitely wanted to be on the same page, and I think we achieved that here.
How did y'all get Brian in on this project?
Me, Doug, and Brian were all a part of the Comic Jam, which is an online creators collaboration thing. Basically, weekly, an artist or writer are paired together to create a one-page comic, and you're given like a random prompt each week. And so I was in it, I would say back in like 2017, and Brian was at the same time, and Doug came a little bit later. But Brian was there at the same time. I never got the chance to collaborate with him, but I just saw like how amazing his art was. And I just like always wish I got a chance to appear with him. I never did. And so flash forward to me and Doug scripting this, and we're looking for artists, and we're trying to figure out who we want to do this. And basically a light bulb went off my head. I'm like, oh my gosh, like Brian would be the perfect person for this. And so we approached him, and luckily he was interested and available at the time. And yeah, we're just so glad to have Brian on board for this, because it's been an awesome, collaborating with him.
When you're going to ask him, were you worrying more about interest or availability being a reason he could say no?
good question. I think more so availability. It just felt at the time we were approaching people, it's like it must seem like the worst time in the world, like everyone was just busy. And so like I mean I know like someone is a talented as Brian, I was worried that he just might not have the time in his schedule, but luckily that wasn't the case, and we were able to snag him, and he's been doing some awesome work with us.
So you've sent me over a few pages. I don't know if they are, I'm assuming that they're pages as basically as they're going to appear in the comic, just without words in them.
Right.
And everything on here is, I can't wait to hear or read what's going on with it. But one thing I did notice is kind of what you said before, Brian, with his black and white stuff, these are also black and white. Is this comic going to be a black and white thing?
Yes, it's a black and white comic. We're just so confident. Like Brian's art, I think those details are just, they just pop so much in the black and white. And he definitely has, you know, a strong hand and black and white, and the shadows and the tones that he uses, just I think they work perfectly, and they don't necessarily need color to enhance them at all. Like he is just a master of black and white art for sure.
So as y'all are getting ready for the Kickstarter, has there been any concern from anybody that people would see black and white as a downside?
I think there has been, you know, somewhat some of that. I mean, I know black and white isn't always as popular as color art, but I mean, it can be done. And I think when the art is as strong as it is, I think it speaks for itself, and it shouldn't be a deterrent to people wanting to pick up this book, I would hope.
Well, I know I'm saying this as somebody who has seen these pages, and there's absolutely nothing to be concerned about with this. Although I can definitely understand somebody thinking, oh, this comic is going to be black and white. Like, why not in color?
Right. And, you know, with the, you know, popularity of like manga right now, and Brian definitely has some of that influence as art. I just don't think that hopefully isn't as big of an issue as maybe has been, you know, in the past. Like, I think maybe people are slightly more accepting of it, even if not always. You know, I mean, like you said, Brian's art speaks for itself, and like these shadows, these tones, I mean, yeah, color is nice, but like I said, this it stands for itself as a black and white comic, and I can't wait for people to see these pages that you have seen.
Yeah, these are definitely drawn as something that is black and white on purpose, and not just something that's had the color sucked out of it or not put into it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody who sees this, I mean, this is a manga is really a great comparison, because this is the way it's supposed to look.
Exactly. It's not just an afterthought. It's not, you know, it's not an accident. Like, this is the way it's meant to look, and I think it looks gorgeous.
How did you get hooked up with Tobin to do the letters for this one?
So I think I was just sharing some pages in the group chat, and Tobin saw it, and immediately same reaction, like really wanted to be involved once he saw Brian's art. So it wasn't too hard to get him on board. He saw the art. He's like, can I please letter this? And I'm like, yeah, you can definitely letter this. I don't mind at all. Because Tobin is incredibly talented. Just was helping him promote Pilgrim's Dirge, and became a lot more familiar with his work. And I'm so excited to have Tobin on board as a part of our team.
And then I'm assuming, just me knowing Doug as I do, I'm assuming he is also having a hand in publishing this as well, right?
Yeah, having Doug on board is just a huge relief as someone. This is my first, you know, Kickstarter. So Doug has experience with a couple other Kickstarters. So I think that's definitely going to help us a lot in terms of fulfillment. You know, Doug's been here before with his Ultramax trade, and then Project Big Hype, which I was a part of. And those books have both come out beautifully, so I'm really excited to have Doug's knowledge and expertise in putting this book together.
I haven't had a chance to look at the Ultramax yet, but Big Hype, I'm very excited for. I really like that for a lot of reasons. So just knowing that kind of the same hand that helped put that together is helping put this together, both from a publishing side and a creative side, I think is going to be a big plus, because Project Big Hype had some names behind it, both in having pieces in there and in helping get the word out about it.
Yeah, it was amazing what Doug was able to do in terms of putting Project Big Hype together, which was just, you know, a random idea he had, and to take that from idea to finished and amazing looking book is something that doesn't happen very often. So I'm super excited to have Doug's hand pushing us forward once more.
So one thing that's kind of been stewing in my brain is, you said earlier, the whole idea was, what if Conan was done as a wizard? How much D&D have you played?
It's funny. It's question has come up a couple times. I actually have only started playing D&D fairly recently. I basically started playing after we already finished scripting. So I would say direct D&D influence didn't really come into play when we were writing the story. And Doug doesn't have much D&D experience either. So this is definitely inspired, you know, by some of those trope elements of like sword and sorcery, and Doug's a much bigger Conan the Barbarian fan. Also, there's a little Headlopper influence on there. And just at the time, I was writing a lot of serious comics, so I just wanted to do something that was less so. I just wanted to do something that was fun and crazy and action-packed, and this story is that in spades.
So how much do you think you're going to play now?
I'm in the middle of a campaign right now, actually. That's been going pretty good. I'm a level... Gosh, what am I? A level 4 rogue currently. So we're a chatty group. We aren't progressing as fast as our DM would like, but it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun. I didn't know what the whole D&D experience was. I thought there would be a lot more action. A lot more fighting. And it's funny, a lot of the problem solving we've been having to do. So D&D is really interesting in terms of the flexibility that allows in the campaign. It's been really fun.
So one thing I've completely forgotten to ask both of you about is this book going to be just one and done, or is this going to be first in a series? You know, obviously in a perfect world where everything happens the way you want it to happen.
Mm-hmm. The latter. This is the first in the series. We have a couple more stories that we have in the same world. We've actually, fingers crossed, we get this funded, are planning a 4-issue miniseries for this. And yeah, we'll go from there past that. But we have about three more issues that we have past this one that we have planned up. And we've outlined the whole thing. We've actually already scripted issue 2. That just needs to be revised a little bit, but we have the general story in our minds already.
So are you capping yourself at 4, or is that just as far ahead as you guys are looking right now?
That's as far ahead as we're looking right now. I think there definitely is room for more, but we're pacing ourselves.
It's a good thing to have, though. I mean, a lot of the stuff that I'm pulling right now is miniseries or, hey, you know, we're going to take a story arc at a time and see what happens. It's a lot easier for people to get in when they only have to go back and get like one or two issues, or they can grab one trade and have the whole story.
Exactly. It's a lot less intimidating when you don't have to jump on issue 64 or something like that, you know. So to be able to top on and just get a trade and get a complete story, I know is even for me, you know, is a lot more easier for readers trying to get into a new series.
One of the things that instantly caught my attention, which I instantly brought to y'all's attention over Twitter, was the last bit of the press kit you sent me of who is Savage Wizard for. It's for Skull Kickers, which I haven't heard of. Savage Sword of Conan, which I also haven't heard of, but I can make a fairly good assumption that it's a Conan the Barbarian thing.
Mm-hmm.
Headlopper, which I haven't heard of that either, but and Skull Kickers too. I should have said this for both of them. Just the titles there make me think, okay, I'm going to have to go see what these things are about, because that both of those just have wonderful titles. And Barbaric, which Vault is putting out right now, which has been a ton of fun. Are you worried about any kind of oversaturation, though, in like funny action-packed things? I guess that's a weird thing to have oversaturation in.
Initially, I was like, oh no, like someone else is doing the same thing that we are, you know. It's like we came up with this idea 2 years ago, and unfortunately pandemic and, you know, just stuff with life, the book didn't get, you know, done as fast as we wanted to, so that was a little bit of a bummer. But at the same time, it's also a good thing to have those comparison titles around. I haven't had a chance to read Barbaric yet, but I mean, yeah, I'm hoping that if people are into Barbaric, they'll check out a similar title like ours. It looks to be a lot of crazy fun, and we're also trying to do something that's just fun and doesn't take itself too seriously. And I'm sure it's in very different ways because, you know, we're different writers and lead writer with Barbaric, but yeah, I think there's definitely room for multiple books of the same ilk, even if you know, there's a little bit of divergence there in terms of what we're doing.
Well, one thing you definitely have going for you on it compared with Barbaric is just the timeline. Like, Kickstarter for this is launching as we record this in a couple days, which is the middle of September. So I'm assuming that super very optimistically, I think we can very easily say that these books would be delivered November or later, with a big emphasis on the later.
This November? So no, unfortunately, we're still in the middle of production. Brian's put an immense amount of effort into his work, but we're basically using the Kickstarter to fund the rest of Brian's art. We've got kind of like those pitch pages going, but we're using the Kickstarter money to get Brian paid, and also the rest will be for printing the books and all that.
So yes, much later.
Yes, but we're hoping within, you know, the span of a year.
But that also means, though, Barbaric will have finished its run, so you're not directly competing with it for reader attention, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, and that's, you know, direct market is a different beast than, you know, Kickstarter market, I feel like. So, yes, we're in the same vein, but I wouldn't say we're directly competing.
And honestly, from everybody that I've talked to, nobody would say you're really directly competing anyway, except for some comics journalist people who are just trying to kick up drama.
In general, like with the comics community that I know and have been a part of, people have done just, you know, an amazing job of boosting each other up and supporting each other versus, you know, seeing each other as competition, and that has been a great thing to see. I have not been a part of the greater comics community for that long of a time, but it's just been awesome to have, you know, peers and even people I don't know, like, you know, helping to boost my work and, you know, other people's work. It's just really awesome to see that part of comics, the good part, not the gross parts that you see at times.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about the gross parts.
Exactly.
We all know what that is. Not cool. What's been your biggest surprise in putting this together so far?
I would say one, I guess I knew Brian's art was amazing, but just I am so glad that people are also on board. I mean, we're at, as of this recording, 183 follows. I was like, I don't know, maybe we'll get like 80 or something. So to have double that or is just jaw-dropping. I'm just like absolutely floored that we've gotten this much of this much support when we really haven't shown too much. We've been holding it pretty close to our chest in terms of the interior pages. We haven't showed off a lot, so I'm just super pumped that people are already ready to go. Like, you know, even though we haven't shared too much, people are all in on Savage Wizard.
Now, obviously, I don't know how much you're going to share on the Kickstarter page, but anybody who has seen at least the like holding page for it, this art is, I don't want to say that it's bad, so definitely don't understand it this way at all, but it is nothing compared to what you sent over to me.
Yeah, I am super excited. So yeah, we're basically, you know, Wednesday, September 15th, we're launching. I'm not sure on the exact time, probably 10 or 11 o'clock, but I put together a Kickstarter trailer because, you know, apparently video is supposed to be good for Kickstarters. And I want to say my favorite page might be page 4. That will be on our actual Kickstarter page. But yeah, when people see page 4, I hope they react how I did when I saw page 4, because that last panel, my God. And that's in the that last panel is in the Kickstarter trailer as well. So I hope people have that same jaw-dropper reaction that I did.
Well, I'm going to assume that page 4 is amazing because I haven't seen it yet.
I apologize.
Because compared to everything that I've seen here, I mean, if you're picking that over anything over what you sent me, then that must be really amazing.
Yeah, it is. And I apologize. You have not gotten that yet, but yeah, it's going your way soon.
Well, you got to hold something back for me to see later.
That's true.
And what kind of Kickstarter backer rewards are you planning to have for this one?
So in addition to the standard, obviously, you're going to get PDF and the physical book. We're going to have prints done from some artists that we will be revealing the day of. So there's going to be, two prints from two artists, and then Brian is also doing two prints from, we're using interior pages. And also there's going to be a tier where people were thinking newer to comics are able to video chat me and Doug about scripting or about pitching comics. They can talk to us about whatever comic related stuff they might have questions on. And then also the biggest tier is being able to get drawn into the book by Brian, which we're hoping people will be interested in.
Those usually get snatched up pretty quick. Everybody that I have talked to has said that. Unfortunately, it's not something I can afford, both because I can't afford it anyway and because I'd like to spread my money around and support more things rather than the amount of money those usually cost.
I totally get that. I'm the same way. You got to be smart with all the Kickstarter purchasing I do. I definitely have to be smart about how I'm spending that money.
Are there any concerns for you personally being the first Kickstarter that you're creating?
Not really. I feel, like I said, very confident. I mean, I think I would have been able to handle it myself, but having Doug on board, especially, is just an added resource of in terms of getting fulfillment done. Doug's done it twice. I've gotten two Kickstarter books from him that I have in boxes somewhere since I've moved. But I think that we have our specs in mind. We are good to go in terms of getting people a finished book once Brian's all done with his art. I am 100% confident that there aren't going to be really any issues, other than maybe, unfortunately, there has been some things I've been seeing happening lately, which was because of the pandemic. There has been a lot of shipping related issues going on lately. I'm seeing some production related issues in terms of even simple things like paper. Like, there's been backups on all things like that. So there could be things that are out of our hands that we can't control, but on our end, I'm not worried.
And from what I've seen from the other side of things, I mean, as long as you're just upfront and, hey, we're gonna have to send these books out late because of whatever issue it was, people don't seem to really have a problem with it.
Yeah, I noticed that myself as a backer. I mean, I am sympathetic to creative teams. It's because usually it's people, hey, I'm making comics, but I also have a day job, or like I said, hey, lumber is in short supply, so now that's affecting paper mills and all those things. So things can get wonky, and creators can't control everything in terms of the timing of fulfillment. But as long as people are transparent and upfront, and we definitely aim to be with our Kickstarter, then hopefully there won't be any issues in that regard.
How does this compare to previous comics that you've written?
So I would say, like I said, at the time I was writing Savage Wizard, it felt like I was writing a lot more serious books. So I wanted to get away from that tonally. Although Ghost Gauntlet, it's my second longest book, and Savage Wizard is really like my full length debut. But Ghost Gauntlet is a mini I did with Sam Owen, and that one is a lot of fun. It is basically about a girl who has to punch her way to heaven. And so that one is a lot more, yeah, comedic and has some good action in it. But this is different than every other comic I've done, because I had a co-writer, not just working with an artist, but actually had a co-writer in Doug. And so that was different in that, having a co-writer, you're really having to balance things a lot more. You know, there were times when there was a scene or two where maybe I felt a lot more strongly about it, and maybe had to fight for it in terms of keeping it in the story or explaining its significance, or vice versa with Doug. So this is just a lot different in terms of that push and pull of the co-writing process, but it was a lot of fun having that different approach in this. You know, it's also half the work when you think about it, so that was also a lot of fun. Like, we really, this is one of the fastest scripts I've ever written, just because that the co-writing process with Doug, you know, felt pretty natural. We were able to really get that first draft out pretty quick. Revisions took longer, but we were able to make something that felt a lot of fun and felt natural fairly quickly.
And I guess finally, on the serious end of questions, no, that's a stupid question. I'm not even going to tell you what that is. That's how bad it is. No, I'll tell you, because now I'm worried that you're going to worry about it. I was going to ask how strongly you feel about the Kickstarter getting funded, or how you think it's going to do, but that's a horrible question. Okay, well, let me ask it for real then.
It's funny. I would not say I'm an arrogant person, but I would say I'm like 100% confident in this, despite not having run a Kickstarter. Doug, who I feel should feel more confident, is the one that I'm having to push him up. And it's funny how our roles are almost reversed, but I'm almost like my confidence in this is like almost comedic at this point. Like no, this is happening, people are gonna love it, like what's not to love? Like, you're gonna, you know, this book is gonna get funded, no ifs, ands, or buts, you know. So I totally think this is happening. I'm not sure how fast it's going to happen. I'm sure it's still going to have all that Kickstarter dread and anxiety, but I know that, you know, before our time is up, we will definitely be funded because Brian's art is awesome, because me and Doug put together a great script. And yeah, I have no worries about that whatsoever.
Well, that's good to hear. Partly because if you did have worries about it, I question why you have the Kickstarter going up anyway. And mostly because, I mean, here is reason number 58, maybe, of why do I want to give this my money?
Yeah, I'm glad that helps. You know, I just know, like, I mean, I've worked on a lot of different books, and maybe being behind the wheel is different, but I'm just like, look at this book. Why would you not want to throw your money at it? Like, come on.
What advice would you have for somebody looking to get into making comics?
I would say be prepared to spend lots and lots of money. Comics is expensive. I obviously knew that I'd be investing money into it, but you know, just it's a longer process than you will realize, especially if you're a writer. I mean, if you're an artist slash writer, it obviously still takes a decent bit of time, but as a writer, I mean, it's an expensive thing to fund the creation of a comic, you know. So I would say if you can learn to letter, or maybe learn to flat, but yeah, comics is expensive, and I think that's something that people don't realize once they get into it, or before they get into it, I should say.
Yeah, so besides paying artists for their art and colorists for their art and letters for their craft. I mean, what else are you spending money on?
Promotion, marketing, you know, trying to use social media, marketing and all that, putting not a crazy amount of money, but, you know, putting money into like Facebook marketing and Instagram marketing. I mean, we are putting money into shipping supplies and, you know, some back end stuff, but just in general, I feel like there's always like something that will pop up and surprise you. Oh yeah, we paid for sandwichblizzard.com, so just so it's easier to find versus, you know, like typing out a whole crazy Kickstarter URL. So I mean, granted, you can use the link shortener, but there's things like that will just pop up, you know, when you're in the middle of something like this that, you know, will eat up some money.
And the only reason I knocked out the artists and the letters and stuff is because they're definitely getting paid and there's no choice in that matter.
Right, exactly. There's no way around that. And, you know, they deserve it. Brian's art just like elevates this story so much, and he is the perfect artist for this. So I want him to get paid handsomely for this, and I hope that people reward him for his efforts, because he has really put his elbow into this in terms of, like I said, the amount of detail and dedication he's put into these pages.
All right, well, we'll end things on a little bit of a lighter note. First off, who is your favorite Muppet?
I would say Gonzo. Gonzo's my favorite.
Somehow, yeah. I have had a lot of Gonzos lately, and it started off, I thought really? He'd be mixed in, but like nothing. And now it's a lot of Gonzos.
I feel like the comics community probably attracts Gonzos. I'm sure we see ourselves in Gonzo a lot, but yeah, I've always been a Gonzo fan. I love Gonzo, but I'm probably more of a Scooter myself.
And finally, when you go into the grocery store, you know, obviously in the before times,
mm-hmm.
maybe, what department do you go to first?
Where do I go first? It's probably a crapshoot, but I typically just end up going to, I feel like a more so the produce section is usually where I beeline for. And I always end up going back because I forgot something, but usually I go first for produce. Gotta get my fruits and veggies.
That's how I am too. It just makes sense to me. Then you can build your cart around not squishing them.
Exactly. Although I guess in theory you could do everything first and then have that last, but yeah, I don't know. I do my produce first and then everything else follows.
Well, I don't know why you do it, but I do it because the produce at the grocery stores that are by my house are on the opposite side of the store from the frozen stuff.
For me, they're typically like the first thing when you walk in, so I'm like, it's there. I'm gonna do it before I forget.
Well, Leslie, it has been great talking to you about all of this stuff. If people want to hear more from you, where else can they find you around the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at LesWrite. That's LESWRITE. And you can check out my website. It's leswrite.com.
And if people want to read more of your comics, where can they find those?
On my website as well. I got a few free ones there. And also, if you check out Gumroad, Gumroad/LesWrite, you can find some more comics for purchase as well.
And as always, we'll have links to all that stuff down in the show notes, because clicking links is so much easier than trying to remember how to spell things.
Heck yeah.
Especially when you get into homonyms and then you got to remember, because it could be R-I-G-H-T, even though W-R-I-T makes more sense.
That's true.
As always, if you want to hear more from me, best place is just to head on over to playcomics.com, where you can find links to the Discord, which is playcomics.com/discord, or Twitter, which is twitter.com/playcomicscast, or, you know, every other place that I am, technically, but those are the main places I am. If you want to help support the show, you know, and inevitably get money to people like Les, who get money from me for making their comics, because that's just how I roll. You can head on over to playcomics.com/support. And there's a few different ways that you can support me, you know, pick the one that works for you. But also just shove this podcast right into somebody else's ear holes. Be nice about it, though. Maybe ask them first. Make sure that they're ready for it. Because getting things shoved in your ears is not fun if you're not ready for it. Don't forget that Play Comics is a part of the Gunna Geek Network, home to a bunch of other wonderfully geeky shows. They're all good and wonderful and geeky. And I don't know if that counts as me using a new adjective. We'll let the fans judge that. If you like the music that I'm really talking on top of right now, head on over to soundcloud.com/best-day to check out Best Day's music. But most of all, just grab a game, grab a stack of comics, and you'll find yourself a new favorite character. If you like the music that I'm really talking on top of right now, head on over to sound. There's the yawn.